Praise the Lord. It's good to be in this house tonight in the presence of the Lord. I am thankful for grace. Where would I be but for grace? There's a song that says I'd be an empty place in a hopeless case if it wasn't for the grace of God. And I believe that. No telling where I would be. And you know something? I'm glad it doesn't end with grace, but this life is an ever-ascending life. I'm glad there's not a point in which we reach, which we stop growing and we stop learning, or there's nothing left to know or no knowledge yet to gain. I'm glad to know the further I go in this thing, the less I feel like I know, but the more I want to know. Amen. The more I desire to experience His presence and to know what He has. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Derek, I believe it was last week, last Sunday, I believe it was, he asked me to preach tonight, and I just kind of had some different directions this week, just kind of wrestled between them, just wasn't sure. That being said, I came out here this afternoon. I said, Lord, I've got to have some clear direction for tonight. And anybody that's ever preached or whatever ministered, you'd understand what I'm talking about there. But as I got out here this afternoon, I had one direction I was trying to kind of follow, and it just wasn't what I felt like the Lord would have. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought something back to my remembrance here. It's something I preached on. It's probably been a couple years ago. I haven't preached it since and never preached it before, but just felt like the Lord really put this thing in my heart tonight, so I'm just trusting Him to do something. You know, I was listening last night, Brother Clendenin. I was listening to him on the way up, driving from home there up to Hampton, and I was sitting there listening to him, and he said he felt like the Lord, and this was, of course, Brother Clendenin's going on to be with the Lord now, but he said it was in his later years. He said he felt like the Lord had been dealing with him. He said the dealings of the Lord had become all the more intimate. And he said if you go through Scripture, you'll find, and throughout church history and throughout the history of revivals, he said you'll find that when the dealings of God become all the more intimate, He's getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to pour out His Spirit. And I begin to think, here recently, I feel like the Lord's dealings in my own life have become all the more intimate. They become close to me. Things that I wouldn't have batted an eye out before, now I just feel like the Lord's just been making real to me. He's just turning something over in my spirit. So I'm just hoping tonight that as a church we can draw a little closer, and as we read the Word tonight, Exodus chapter 33, we're going to begin reading there in verse 7, if the Lord be our helper tonight. But I'm just praying that God's presence to become intimate in this place, a closeness that cannot be denied. We were sitting there last night with Sister Teresa there, just talking. We were talking about the presence of the Lord, and I said, I've been in services before in which there was no denying that the presence of God had been there. There was no, beyond any shadow of a doubt, where you could walk out of that service and you could say the Lord was there. You couldn't explain everything that happened. You couldn't put your finger on everything that God done, and it would have took an awful long time to sit there and explain it all and for every testimony to come forth, but there was beyond a shadow of a doubt that the presence of God had been there. Amen. And I'm just praying, trusting God here in our church here, that God's presence will do the same, that when we leave this place and we go about our way, we can say the presence of God is intimate and it is real. It's not just a concept that we teach. It's not just an ideology that we preach, and it's not just something that we go to church and say that we experience. It's not just a doctrine that we profess, but it is something that is possessed within the soul, the divine presence of God that is a reality beyond any shadow of a doubt and beyond question of the mind. I'm going to tell you something. You say, what will put skeptics silent? I'll tell you, the presence of God will silence them in a heartbeat. Oh, what'll make people, to move people that are beyond moving, you think? Supposedly, I'm telling you, the presence of God will do it. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7. If you got your Bibles tonight, I ask you to read along with me. Got a few scriptures here to read, about 8 verses here. So the Bible says there, and Moses took the tabernacle and he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. He called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up,
and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and it stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Amen. I like that. He said the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar that stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. What intimacy there. What closeness. He said, he spoke unto him face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Get that. He said, I know thee by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight. This is what the Lord had said unto Moses. Now therefore I pray thee, Moses talking here, he said, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may now know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses talking unto the Lord here, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If you will tonight, for just a few minutes, lend me your ears and your hearts for just a little while. I'm going to preach on a plea for God's presence. A plea for God's presence. Stretch forth your hand this way. Ask the Holy Ghost to anoint me tonight. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, make me that living word, that divine oracle of God. As I speak your words, Lord, let them come to life. Lord, don't let this just be another sermon. Don't let this just be another opportunity. But Lord, let this be the entering into the gates of your presence, God. I pray, God, stir us and awaken us to the reality, Lord, that you're only as far as we make you, Lord. That if we desire to enter in to your courts and we desire to know you, you have made provision for that to be so. And in this ever-ascending life, Lord, you've made provision for us to be close unto you. And I ask in the name of Jesus, let your will be done in this place. Everybody said amen. So here we find, and I know Brother Derek's been talking, and he's been telling me some, just talking to me. He said, I'm just feeling here recently, talking out of my heart to the church. And I'm going to tell you what, when a man of God can stand behind the pulpit and talk to a people out of his heart, he's not just speaking from his own heart. It's something that the Lord's placed within that heart. Well, I feel a little bit like that tonight. I'm trying to talk to you out of my heart, but it's not something that I felt the Lord kind of kindle this thing afresh in my heart this afternoon. In a story here, we find Moses is talking to God in a very earnest spirit. But before you would understand the earnesty in the prayer and the cry of Moses here, you would have to go back a few chapters and you'd have to understand some of the preceding events that took place before this prayer of Moses, before this pleading prayer of Moses. And you'd have to go back to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. Here we find how God spoke unto Moses and he told him to go unto Mount Sinai there in Exodus chapter 24. And the Bible said, and Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the clouds and got him up unto the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now you talk about the presence of God being real. Or you talk about being down in that valley and looking up. They said that they looked up on that mountain and they saw the presence of God as a fire. Oh, to look to God again, that the people could see the presence of God in the sanctuary beyond just a little moving and a breath of the Holy Ghost from time to time. But God, let it settle like a fire and let it consume once again. Let it not just be this foreign concept that we talk about revivals in years gone by and we talk about moves in the past, but let it be a reality today in which the fire comes down and it settles in the sanctuary and it begins to consume hearts that have been made themselves ready for His presence. Let the fire descend again to where it is a reality inside of the church. Oh God, help us. For 40 days we find here Moses has an unabridged revelation from God. Oh, he is told details concerning the priesthood and the ark and the tabernacle, etc., etc., etc. We may never fully know what was told and revealed unto Moses there in those 40 days. I don't believe that it was all recorded in Scripture. Oh, because you say, how do you know that, Brother Shane? Because I'm here to tell you, there's been times whenever God's become intimate to me, when Christ's presence has become so real, and I get out of the prayer closet, and I walk away, get up from off my knees, and I try to tell people what God's spoken and He's put within me, and I can't even put it into words. I just got to believe that these 40 days and 40 nights some is recorded in Scripture, but I believe not all of it is fully there. I perhaps will never fully know what was told and revealed unto Moses until we go on to be with the Lord and we can sit down and talk with Him then. Only find there at the end of that, in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18, the Bible says, and He gave unto Moses when He had made an end of communing with Him. That communion that took place. Communion isn't something that's just two parties that come together by happenstance. It's a party that comes seeking the presence of another person. Moses didn't go up on that mountain by random happenstance. He didn't just randomly walk up on the mountain and say, hey, I think I'll go for a walk and stumble upon the presence of God. He went there for the purpose of finding God's presence. How many of us, I want to ask you tonight, have come here tonight with the purpose of finding God's presence? Is it more to you than a ritual? Is it more to you than just gathering in on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night? Or have we come with the purpose, God, I've come here to find Your presence? Because I can promise you this, there ain't many times you're going to have an intersection with the presence of God lest first you came seeking. Now there are times in God, in His grace and His mercy, He intersects us with His presence even when we haven't been seeking. But for the majority of the time, we say we want to see God pour out His Spirit again. There must be a purpose set in mind that says, I've come here with this purpose in mind to find the presence of God, to experience it as a reality. Oh, so we find there, when He made an end of communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone were given unto Him that were written with the finger of God. I'm going to tell you something. When you leave the presence of God, there'll be some hard evidence. There'll be something given unto us. There'll be something placed within us that we'll be able to take to other people. I'm here to tell you something. I'm not all for these moves of God that produce nothing. Oh, come on now. I've watched people sit there and say that, oh, presence of the Lord moved on me tonight and I shouted. But yet you find out they've been living in sin. Oh, if it's nothing produced in it, I'm here to tell you something, that wasn't the real presence of God. Because when you get in the real presence of God, something will be produced out of it. There'll be some hard evidence. Something will be changed. There'll be some sort of evidence that says, I have been in the presence of God. But we find some of the other preceding events was also there in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not, or we know not what has become of him. I'm here to tell you something. All the miracles that the children of Israel had seen, all the works that they had seen God do, and we'll discuss very briefly in a minute. All of this is prior knowledge for all of us, but I just want to make a point tonight when I feel to deal with this out of my heart. Oh, you know something? They had seen all of those things take place, but it only took 40 days and 40 nights for them to bear themselves naked in front of a calf and dance around and worship that thing. I'm here to tell you something. Religion ain't going to cut it, folks. Or we can watch God move, or we can experience His moving. Or we can sit back and spectate on it and watch. Oh man, look what God's doing. I'm here to tell you something. That's what the children of Israel had done. They had watched God move, but it wasn't reality inside of that heart. It wasn't faith that had been founded inside of them, as Brother Derek talked about this morning, turned into faithfulness unto God. But rather it was just, oh, look at the spectating and look at what God can do. While the man of God was praying, the congregation was straying. How often is it men and women of God, saints of God, will pray, but yet the rest of the congregation is no more concerned with God's presence? How often is it, and I'm just talking, I'm going to talk to us some, so just bear with me tonight. If I put you to sleep, it'll be all right. Oh, how many times is it you have me and that Brother Derek? You understand, he spends a lot of time in a week studying and preparing for a Sunday message. It don't just come like that. I've never understood preachers that get up and say, "Well, bless God, I ain't got no notes tonight. I'm just kind of following the wind." I'm here to tell you something. For me, it ain't never really come like that. There's been a few occasions I've got up and the Lord spoke into my spirit and I've talked. But most of the time, it takes some agony. It takes some prayer. It takes some study and it takes some digging. Oh, how many times has it been that Brother Derek's got up here and he's dug and he's studied and he's prayed himself through and he's got up here and preached and we sat there and stared at him because all the week we haven't been no more concerned about the presence of God than any... Oh, well, Brother Shane, my life's busy. I got this going on. I got that going on. I got school. I got a job. I'm here to tell you something. The presence of God should be our utmost priority. And I will talk about it in a minute. It better not just be something we come into 3 times a week. It better be something that we come into at least 7 times a week. At least 1 time a day. Maybe 2 times. The presence of God should take priority in our lives. Oh, God. It ain't just for preachers, folks. Well, you know, that's the preacher's job to pray himself through. It's your job to pray yourself through, too. And if you pray yourself through, something will be produced. Oh, I've got to move on here. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, which shall brought us out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." God interrupted this meeting between Him and Moses and told him the circumstances. We know how Moses interceded for them before he ever left the mountain. I want to note something there. Note that before Moses ever went down and tried to deal with the situation, him being a man of God that he was, he prayed first. Oh, most of us in rage and in lack of understanding of the situation would have ran down that mountain and tried to fix it on our own. Well, I just don't like the way that's going. I got to put my hands on it. No, Moses got down, fell on his face, and began to pray. I'm here to tell you something. Take it to prayer before you put your hands on it. I know somebody said, "What are you trying to point at tonight, Brother Shane?" I don't know. It may sound like the most scattered message you ever heard, but this is the way the Lord laid it upon my heart. And then we find that after Moses goes down, he throws down those tablets of stone that had been given by God. And he asks, "What in the world's going on here? How did this take place?" And we find that he finally pinpoints it to Aaron. And Aaron's response was like this. "And I said unto them," talking to Aaron, talking here, "Whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off." So that they gave it unto me, and I cast it into the fire. And there came out this calf. Boy, that sounds pretty pathetic. He said, "Oh, I just threw it in the fire and it came out." Oh, I'm telling you what, I've heard people, "Well, I just kind of threw it in there and this is what came out. I threw it in there and this is how the marriage got broken. I threw it in there and this is how my children turned out. I threw it in there." I'm here to tell you something. If the presence of God had been a priority to these people, nobody had been throwing anything in a fire and nothing would have been produced. But the presence of God, there'd have been a holy reverence. There'd have been instilled reverence. But yet, people got satisfied with going through the religious routine. Oh. And then they had to make substitutes whenever they didn't find, oh, the real thing. Oh, God help us. I got to move on. So we find that the first place that Moses went was back to the presence of the Lord. We find there in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 31, he said, and Moses returned unto the Lord. Why was it? I'm here to tell you something. Those 40 days and 40 nights he had just spent on that mountain was not for none avail. It wasn't just, oh, simply, like I said, happenstance. He realized that in the presence of God, I'll find the answers. In the presence of God, I'll get the direction. In the presence of God, he'll give me revelation for this present moment. So what did he do? He returned unto the Lord. God help us. He said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and they have made them gods of gold. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up thence. And we can read on there basically what we read there at the beginning. Basically, the Lord said, I will work in your favor because of the promise of my word, and will lead you into the land of Canaan, but I will not make my presence known in your midst. He said, I will send you forth, but I will not be with you, in my own words. That's when Moses cried. He said, Lord, if you're not with us, I don't want to go. Oh, but let me take you back a little further when God's presence first became a reality to Moses. I'm going to talk about this, and you just bear with me just a few minutes. Moses' initial experience with the presence of God, there in Exodus chapter 3, God appeared unto him in that burning bush. And you know something? The Bible says there, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I know Brother Derek did some study throughout this, and I'm not going to try and reiterate too many things, but I just want to hit a few highlights here. First of all, you must understand there are distractions from the presence of God. Moses realized this early. Because the Bible said there on Exodus chapter 3, whenever he said, I will turn aside and go to see this thing, that this bush burns, but it is not consumed. Oh, you know what the Lord told Moses? He said, draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I don't know, I can't remember if Brother Derek mentioned this, he may have, but I'm going to mention it again if he did. Oh, you know what? Those shoes were a distraction to him. You say, what do you mean, Brother Shane? If you would study in the Middle Eastern culture, what I studied out, and I found, when a man would come in, and he would come to sup, or come to have dinner with an individual, or come to have fellowship with that individual, they would take off their shoes at the doorway. Because it was rude to keep your shoes on when you were coming to have a time of fellowship with another individual. Because it showed that you were already ready to go. But when you took off your shoes, you were saying, hey, I'm here to stay for a little while. I'm here, I'm sitting down to have a little bit of time of fellowship. I'm here to tell you something. How many of us tonight come in here with our shoes still on, so to speak, spiritually? It's all right if you keep your shoes on physically. I'm just saying spiritually. Oh, we're already thinking about walking out. Already thinking about what's going on tomorrow. I'm here to tell you something that'll distract you from the presence of God. Oh, it isn't about the fact that so-and-so's preaching or this is going on. It's about the presence of God. And if we come in with the mentality that we're already ready to leave, we'll never receive anything of God. But you know what he said? He said, take off your shoes. He said, I'm going to commune with you for a little while. We're going to have a little talk here, Moses. I'm going to speak to you for a little while. If you open your ears and listen, I got a work for you to do. Oh, would to God we come into the house of God and spiritually speaking, we'd sit down and say, Lord, I'm not leaving here until you speak to me. We'd go home, get in our prayer closet and say, Lord, I'm not leaving here until you speak to me, until you talk to me. Any distraction, get it out of the way. Any obligation, it can be put off till later. I must hear from the presence of God. Just take the shoes off. We can become so easily distracted by the simple things. I understand it's easy to get distracted, but we have got to make provision beyond our distractions. Make provision beyond our distractions. Not only that, but directions are given while in God's presence. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says this, come now therefore, the Lord talking, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Oh, Let me tell you something. If you get beyond the distractions, He'll give you direction. If you get beyond your everyday distraction and beyond our low attention span. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Lord's allowed, I've preached a few times here and there. And I'm telling you what, you see some people, they have the attention span of a gnat. And that's nothing wrong. I've been there too, but there comes a point when we come into the house of God. We have to say, Lord, reel in my attention. And then not only reel in my attention, but give me direction while I'm there. He said, I'm going to send you somewhere, Moses. I got a purpose for you. I'm here to tell you something. The reason why some of us have never found direction for our life, because we never made it past the distraction. Oh, well, Brother Shane, do you believe you should be directed in who? Who you marry? Absolutely. Do you believe you should be directed in the job you take? Absolutely. Do you believe you should be directed in the college education you pursue? Absolutely! But, oh, no, we haven't got the attention span to sit down and find the direction. Oh, dear God. Brother Shane, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm here to tell you something. I found when I seek His direction, it always finds out. It always works out better for me. Because He knows way more than I know. For Moses, it took 5 minutes to receive direction. Oh, but you know what? For the disciples, it took them 3.5 years following Jesus to receive the commission and the direction. So it might be 5 minutes, it might take you 3.5 years of seeking. But I promise you one thing, I would advise you, don't move until you've received direction. Don't move until heaven's spoken. Don't move until God says, thus saith the Lord. Oh, you say, do you believe the Lord can speak to you in that way? Absolutely! He can do it if you'll tarry long enough in His presence for Him to give you direction. You want true direction, spend time. But not only that, there was a revelation within God's presence. First of all, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And Moses said, oh Lord my God, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto before, since thou hast spoken unto my servant, am I slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know what? I believe whenever he got in the presence of God, he became intimidated. I believe it did. I don't know about you, I've had times the Lord deal with me. When He first dealt with me to preach, I said, Lord, there's no way. I'm 13 years old, there's no way I can preach the gospel. I said, they'll laugh at me, they'll mock me. I said, there's no way. I don't have enough experience, I don't know the Word enough. All of these things went through my mind. Oh, you know what? God began to show Him His inadequacy. But you know what? God showed Him also through that. He revealed God's adequacy. He revealed God's ability. He revealed His own ability. I'm here to tell you something. What did He tell Paul there? He said, in your weakness, I am made strong. What is it? My grace is sufficient for thee. What is it? It doesn't matter our own inadequacy. It matters His sufficiency. Oh, hallelujah. Begins to reveal who we are. Oh, Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10, the Bible says this, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the way, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his work. Oh, I'm here to tell you something. He'll begin to try the reins if you dwell there long enough. He'll begin to reveal who you are. What did he do to Isaiah? Isaiah began to cry, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'm here to tell you something. God did not leave him there in the state of his inadequacy. But the Bible said there flew an angel, and he received off that altar a coal, and he touched his lips, and it purged him. I'm here to tell you something. If we'll recognize his sufficiency and not our own inadequacy, we can get direction and move for God. But not only that, the provision of God's presence. First thing given is authority is given. Oh, it's true authority is this. Authority is permission to do something and the ability to accomplish it. And it is comprised of two parts. Authority, number one, in word. And number two, authority in deed. Oh, you say, what do you mean there? Authority and word is this. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. The authority of the words, I am. In essence, God walked to Moses there and he handed him a blank check. He said, "Here you go, son. This is the authority." You say, "What do you mean? What do you mean by I am that I am?" God said, "I'll be just what you need, when you need it, wherever you need it. If you're facing a Red Sea, I'll be your deliverance. If you're facing a Pharaoh's army, I'll be your victory. If you're facing bitter waters of Meribah, I'll make the waters sweet. If you're facing a dry time, I'll open up the rock and the waters will flow out. I am that I am. I'll be just what you need, when you need it." That is the authority of God in word. I said, "Brother Shane, what can you accomplish with God?" Nothing. I'm here to tell you something. Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. This sufficiency I have, it is not of my own. The authority that I possess, it is not my own. All the scribes and the Pharisees came unto Jesus saying, "By what authority do you do these things?" Oh, he told him of the Father. It's of the Father. It's not my own sufficiency. I'm not doing this in the flesh, but I've received the commission beyond this world. They said they were amazed at him, because with authority he doth command even the unclean spirits and they come out. I'm here to tell you some folks, we haven't been left without authority, but we've been given the authority that whatsoever we ask, it shall be done. It's an authority in word. We speak and the demons flee, not because of anything within us, but he said it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus you'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's in the name of Jesus that you'll see a dead raised. It's in the name of Jesus that these things will happen, because he is our authority. Word. But not only that, he's authority indeed. Not only did God give Moses authority with his words, but also in his deeds. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. He said, Cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses fled." Oh, the rod became a serpent. How? Was it because Moses was a great man? No. It was because it was of the authority of heaven. He would do the deeds of heaven. He once again get baptized in heaven's authority. You say, "How do you get baptized in heaven's authority?" Get filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have heaven's authority fully until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, "Because ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost." That word power, there's that word dunamis that Brother Derek talked about. But it also means authority to do. He said, "Ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." What is it? It's that authority indeed. He said, "You'll go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." What is it? It's that authority that commissions us to go forth and do something for God. Oh, we could go on. And next of all, not only did he give him authority, but an advocate was given. Oh, an advocate is one that defends or maintains cause or of a proposal. One that supports or promotes the interests of another. Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, because he kept saying, "Lord, I can't do it." He said, "Is not Aaron the Levite? Know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet me. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." Not only did he give him authority, he said, "But you're not going to stand with authority alone, but I'm going to give you an advocate. Oh, he'll be a friend that'll stick closer than a brother." Oh, you say, "How do you make it through the midnight? I'll never leave you nor forsake you." It's an advocate. Oh, he said, "Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate. You have one called to your side. You have one there by your side that says, I'll stand with you. I'll go with you through the dark times, through the thin times, through the Red Sea crossings, through the plagues of Egypt. I'll go with you." Not only that, we find the picture. God began to deal with Moses day to day. I don't read many times through Scripture from that point on that there was many days that went by that God didn't deal with Moses. all he found there in Egypt, he dealt with him on a day-to-day basis. I'm here to tell you something, folks. This thing should be a daily thing. It should be from day to day. It shouldn't be from week to week, from service to service. It should be from day to day. Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. He said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he made a proclamation there. He said, I died daily. He said, I crucify all this old nature, all this old real, this ideology every day. He said, I died. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm here to tell you something. He didn't intend for you to go 6 months between his moving. He didn't intend for you to go 6 months between a touch. He intended for you to live daily in this by the renewing of your mind. Day by day, that inward man can be renewed. Thank God this thing isn't no longer under the courts or under the Old Testament law. Oh, they had to just trust in a high priest to walk in there. But you know what? Therefore I come boldly under the throne of grace, wherewith I receive help in the time of need. What is it? It's because I have that authority. But now it's become a daily thing. I can walk in whenever I need to. Amen. We could go through understanding God's dealings. First way God deals, and Brother Derek mentioned it in his study, so I'm not even going to go into much detail about it. But God deals by destruction. What did he do? Undoubtedly, that Egyptian culture had seeped its way into the children of Israel. Why do you think they built a golden calf? They learned it somewhere. They learned it there in Egypt. But you know what? The daily dealings of God begin to do. They begin to destroy some things. I'm here to tell you something. When you let God deal with you from day to day, He'll begin to destroy something. Are you talking about sin, Brother Shane? I'm not talking about sin necessarily. If there's sin there, He'll destroy it. But that ain't the only thing. He'll destroy some pride. He'll destroy some complacency. He'll destroy some self-righteousness. He'll destroy any mentality that prevents His presence if you let Him. You find one by one the gods of Egypt fail. And Brother Derek mentioned it in his study. I'm here to tell you something. Your gods and the things that you follow after. He said, Brother Sarah, I'm not committing adultery. I'm idolatry. I'm here to tell you something. If there's anything in your life, regardless of what it is, job, family, friend, person, individual, anything, it's idolatry in the eyes of the Lord. If it comes before Him, He'll deal with it. He'll deal with it in every area and every aspect. I'm here to tell you, first of all, He deals by destruction. But not only that, He deals through deliverance. Oh, first of all, we find in chapter 13, verse 9, the Bible said that He delivered them out of Egypt. Oh, and He said, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord hath brought thee out of Egypt. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad to know that He delivered me out of Egypt. But I'm here to tell you something. Listen to me, folks. There's some people get out of Egypt, but they never escape the Egyptians. It's one thing to get out of Egypt. It's one thing to leave the land of bondage. It's another thing to leave the captors behind. Because you know what God had to do? He had to lead them to a Red Sea. Lead them across that Red Sea and destroy the Egyptians in the midst of that sea before they were ever fully delivered. There's some people, they get that first step. They get out of Egypt, but they never escape the Egyptians. I'm here to tell you something. God doesn't deal in halfway deliverance. He deals in complete deliverance. Somebody say, do you believe somebody gets saved and still wrestle with addictions? I believe there'll come a point that Egyptian may chase them down to a Red Sea. But God can drown that thing. God can destroy that thing. He can move that thing. No matter what it is, He deals in deliverance. And then He gave them further direction there in His dealings. I've got to move on. But let me tell you the preventions of God's presence. Here, the golden calf, here we find, moving on in our story here. All the people begin to fear and to doubt. I'm here to tell you something. If there's anything that will bring about an indictment in the church of God, it's fear and doubt. Well, Brother Shane, you know, I just don't know if we'll ever see a revival like they used to see. So I'm just holding on to the rapture takes place. Or, Brother Shane, I'm trying my best to live the best way I know how right now. I'm here to tell you something. This is an ever-ascending life. I mentioned this at the beginning. There is no point in which we hit a plateau and we're never called to go any further. We're called to go deeper and deeper. Become more intimate. Become more close. I'm not going to deal a lot of time on this because it's not really what I feel in my spirit to do. But I'm here to tell you something. Not only that, but they desired a form of approval. What did they do? They didn't go out there and start trying to construct something to worship themselves. They went and they tried to find somebody to approve of it. I watch people, well, preacher, you know, what about this? And can we start heading in this direction? No! It's in the Word of God! Well, you know, if we start letting down in this area, and we start... No, I'm here to tell you something. I find some people, they aren't looking for somebody to lead them and direct them. They're just looking for somebody to agree with them. They're looking for a bobblehead. Yeah, that's all right. I'm here to tell you something, and it won't be long. You have the people dancing around the naked in front of the calf in apostasy. Brother Shane, we're not doing that. I'm just here to tell you how it all begins, the preventions of God's presence. It's a progressive thing. It don't start with some great old big thing. It just starts with one little small thing that we begin to approve of. We find approval of it, and it begins to grow bigger. It starts with a thought. Starts with an idea. Starts with, well, you know, I ain't really got to pray that. I'm here to tell you something. It starts with the small things. He said, sure, the big foxes, they'll eat the grapes, but it's those small foxes that'll spoil the vine. It's the small foxes that'll destroy that vine and keep it from producing fruit. But I'm here to tell you where I want to preach from tonight. I'm not going to be much longer. It's a plea for God's presence. Let me tell you something. There were some actions that had to be made to restore God's presence. Well, I understand 3,000 people lost their lives on that day. And then the Bible would say that they would be plagued because of this. After that. So I don't know the full extent of how many died and suffered because of the calf there. But let's talk about the actions made to restore God's presence. First of all, there was a cry of anguish. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 4. Oh, the Bible said that when Moses began to talk to them, oh, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. I'm here to tell you, I understand. I'm not here pointing anybody in the face tonight. If you're committing open sin, well, you need to get it right. That's just plain and simple. That's Word of God. But I'm here to tell you something. When a preacher prods, whoever it is, myself, Brother Derek, a teacher, Sunday school teacher, begins to prod in your life, and the Spirit of God begins to deal, and we say, well, I'm fine. It's for somebody else. No, it's not me. There should be a cry of anguish. There was a man of God, I believe was it David Wilkerson, Brother Dare? I'm not for sure. He preached on a call to anguish. I believe it was. There. I'm here to tell you something. More than we need to restore some form of godliness, we need to restore an anguish that says, God, we have to have Your presence. When are we going to become affected by the fact? If you think that going through religious routine is the fullness of Pentecost, you are sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. Trust me tonight, this is just what the Lord laid upon my heart. I don't shoot the messenger. I'm just here to tell you what I feel like the Lord dealt with me about. There needs to be a call of anguish. A cry of anguish that says, oh God, we've got to have something more than where we're at. If I have any way, shape, or form kind of plateaued off and not gotten any further, if I failed to seek and draw closer, God, draw me closer. There needs to be an anguish to this thing. If we don't recognize the absence of God's presence, can we truly be in anguish about it? But I watch people as they go on in oblivion, as if the presence of God is still in effect in their lives. And I'm just speaking. I'm not pointing anybody in the face. I'm just saying what the Lord dealt with me. How often we try and act outside of the presence of God. I'm here to tell you something. His presence has got to be something that we recognize and we desire. Because if we don't desire His presence, I can promise you, there'll come a point His Spirit will not always strive. It will not always deal. And we'll go on walking in our own form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Brother Derek mentioned it. I'm not going to re-preach that. But not only that, there was a call to consecration. There in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 5, He told them there to put off their ornaments. For the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments at Mount Horeb. I'm telling you something. It's more than just taking off the outward. I understand. There's standards to be lived. There's a consecration and to this thing that is required. But there needs to be some things, some attitudes, some mentalities, some pet doctrines that need to be stripped out of us. And we need to go back to the Word of God and say, Lord, is this making provision for Your presence? Is this allowing for Your presence to move freely in my life? Oh, God. Not only that, there was a coming out of the camp. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7, Moses took the tabernacle and he pitched it without the camp. I'm here to tell you something. It's time to go outside the gate again. A lot of people like the idea, oh, I'm going to the upper room. I'm going to get filled. But you know what he told us there in Hebrews? He said this in Hebrews chapter 12. I mean, chapter 13 and verse 12. He said, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. I'm here to tell you something. It's beyond what we do inside of this church house. There's got to be some efforts without the camp. We got to go meet Him outside of the camp. It's got to be more than our ritual and our routine. It's got to be something done outside of what people can see. He said, that which is done in secretly, I'll reward you openly. In secret, I'll reward you openly. God, help us. And then finally, there was a plea made for God's presence. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, now therefore I pray Thee, if I found grace in Thy sight, show me now Thy way. Oh, God, help us, folks. I know this has been different. I've kind of slowed it down and just talked to you some during this message. I'm here to tell you something. We need to ask the Lord, show me Thy way. Show me Thy way. If I fail to see it in any manner, God, show it to me that I may know Thee. That I may know Thee. That is not a simple term of intellectual knowledge there. That is an intimate word. It's the same word as an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. It's that intimacy, that divine nearness. He said, Lord, I just don't want to know of You. I want to know You. I want to experience You. I want there to be a closeness. There needs to be a closeness there, God. There needs to be that divine nearness where I feel Your very heartbeat and I know exactly what You'd have for me. And he said unto him, if Thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I say, Lord, if I'm in the wrong direction, if there's any avenue, God, don't carry me any further. Stop me right here. Put a pause right here in my step. Let me spend a little time finding Your presence, getting to know You a little better. Because God forbid that we carry on without His presence being in the midst of this of us. And I got a few scriptures I'm just going to read. And as my wife gets ready to make her way to the piano. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. He said, if any man's going to make their boast or their glory, He said, let them glory in this, that they know Me and they understand My ways. He said, don't let it, but let them boast in the works they've done. Don't let them boast in the life they've lived. He said, let them boast in this one thing, that they've had a relationship with Me, that they've been close to Me. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says this. He said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. He said, if we follow on, a continuance to that thing. He said, it's not just simply having a head knowledge. He said, there's a continual pursuit that must take place if we follow on to know the Lord. John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That same word of intimacy is used there. It's that closeness that says, Lord, I want to do more than just know of You. I want to do more than just know Your ways. I want to do more than just know Your commandments. I want to know You. I want to know You. I want there to be a nearness there. And then, of course, famous words of Paul there, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Oh, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're about to close. Got one more point I want to make, and we'll end this thing out. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. He said, I don't just desire for you to be present. I want you to be fruitful. I don't just desire that you go and have fellowship one with another. I want you to be fruitful unto every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm here to tell you something, folks. There's depths to this thing. The depths of God's presence is such. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20. This talking here. And he said, thou canst not, Moses that was asking, he said, Lord, show me thy glory. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there has no man seen me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand, and I shall pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I'm here to tell you something, folks. There's depths we have yet to dive into. You know what Romans chapter 3 and verse, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 says? Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I'd submit to you tonight, folks, we have yet to but scratch the surface. As every person stands with me all over this building, I felt. To challenge you tonight. Lord dealt with me. We've got to get beyond our point now. If we want to see God move and see His presence a reality, not only here, but in our home, in our work, in our individual life, we've got to go beyond where we're at now. You know what He said there to the church of Laodicea after He rebuked them for being lukewarm and all of the things He revealed about that church? He said, but if any, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, and he will open the door, I will come in unto him, and I'll sup with him. He said, you know what, it don't matter. All those other things I rebuked you for, but He said, if you'll just hear my voice and open the door, let me come in. Is every head's bowed, every eye's closed tonight. Folks, I'm not here to tell anybody you're not saved. I trust if you're not saved, Brother Derek said this morning, get saved. It's the best life you ever live. But most of all, I'm talking to some that are saved tonight. I'm talking to some saints of God. We've got to go beyond where we are. We've got to delve into the intimacy. We've got to walk into the throne room again. And it's got to be more than routine, folks. This thing has got to be more than a surface religion. You know what Jabez cried there in the book of Chronicles? He said, expand my coast. He said, Lord, when you fill me till I can't have no more, He said, just expand my borders so I can contain some more. I'm here to encourage you, go beyond where you're at. One final thing I'll leave you with. In the Atlantic Ocean, there's a certain area there. It's known as the Marianas Trench. It's known as the deepest elevation, I guess you would call that, in the world. I forgot how many thousands upon thousands of feet below the surface of the water it is. Talk like the pressure there is beyond. They have to build special instruments to even try and go to the depth. And they have yet to discover the depths of it. They said the life forms that are possible to be found there are beyond comprehension. I read one article about that. I'm going to tell you, something struck me as I was reading the article. Isn't it the same with the things of God? We have yet to know the depths of it. We have yet to know the height of this thing. We have yet to discover the full breadth of this thing. Oh, I don't know about you, but when I walk into His throne room, I don't feel like a big somebody. I feel like an awful small nobody. Oh, I realize this thing's bigger than I am. It's beyond my comprehension. It's past finding out. I don't know about you. Is there anybody here tonight? Join me around these altars and say, Lord, I want to know a little bit more about that intimacy. I want to have a little more of that closeness. I want to hear Your voice, Lord. And I don't want it just to be an occasional thing. I want it to be something where I can talk to You. He said, my sheep will know my voice, and another they will not follow. It'll be a closeness. Is there any saying that God say, that's my cry. That's my plea. Thank God. If that's you tonight, will you come around these altars, make it known. Say, Lord, I want to know You. Beyond what I've known You before. You know what? When the scribes and the Pharisees bought Peter and John before the council there, they said that they perceived of them that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But one thing they took note of, it said that they noticed, that they took attention to the fact that they had been with Christ. How much attention do people take to the time you spend with Christ? Is it evident by the life that you live? Is it evident by the walk that you have? Does it bear forth fruit in your life? If that's your desire, ask His presence to be real in this place tonight.